Time for nine. Rabbit.
Take two.
Bibbidi blop. Take two. Here we go.
A gigantic burp exploded between my lips. An enormous grime covered my fangs and prayed that I'd take care of it. I rubbed my eyes, my balls, and my butt. I knew that I was covered in cold goo, but I didn't know that I was about to be covered in a pesto sauce that smelled like jockstraps. Oh no! That was a given. Now if I could just peel off all these stupid goos off of me. I had limped through life on this diaspora for 14 years now. 14 years that have turned me into an idiot, an integral part of society. I'd have myself arrested, but it would take the entire U.S. Army and half of the Spanish Armada, and I still wouldn't be able to tell the difference between toast and paper. It would take everything in my inner self just to know that I was trying to find the difference between two things. I had a nice shirt on, and with my tire iron and my frothing at the mouth, I was dressed to kill. Then my fangs started noticing a temperature change. First it sensed warm, and then it sensed that I was about to gag. I was officially ready to give up being mellow. I had only frothed the mouth one other time, when a group of women surrounded me and started spitting on me. Who knows what they were thinking, but fortunately I was hypoglycemic. I lunged at them desperately, lost my balance, passed out, and woke up at an aviary. I wasn't sure that I'd remember my hemoglobin, but I didn't think I'd remember the frothing at the mouth incident either. But now I was continuing to froth at the mouth with a haste and a ferocity formerly reserved for stopping lines of ants dead in their tracks. I put a camera on my head and started videotaping every gulp of air I took. Afterwards, I'd take the tape to a nearby escalator, soak it in aftershave, set it on fire, and throw it in Michelle's bathroom. She'd look at me as if I was the spy who had come in from nowhere to slaughter a goat. Then I'd close the bathroom door and pretend that I was a spy who knew too much. But I really looked like the shortest Rastafarian spy you'd ever seen smoke a can of Nair hair removal wax. I couldn't see nothing, not even a goat, but why couldn't I see the entrance to my own ear, to my own teeth, and where did I think I was putzing around so ravenously? I imagined I was sinking my fangs into a delicious dose of entrails that I could hear but couldn't part out. I was a goblin. Good thing I didn't have to tell Dad and Mom about my goblin status. They would think of it as a grave problem. They thought I'd been a grave problem ever since I was born. They thought of me as sour and looked at me as a harridan. They would have castrated me if the courts would have let them. I wanted to go to the ABC University so that I could learn to write like a university student, but they've sent me to FU. It's entirely possible that Mom and Dad aren't as demonic and as stupid as they seem, but I doubt it. They didn't have an election. They couldn't decide if there should be an election, because that would mean that everyone would have to learn to write, and they'd have to be intelligent. They'd have to give two shits. They'd have to put down the guns and ammo magazines and come up with a semi-original outlook on life, other than it's stupid. The stupider everyone got, the more salt they'd put on their fingers. They saluted the flag with my parents, and they'd do this while lying on the sofa, waiting for their refrigerator rebate checks. They'd forget to breathe. Mom, Dad, I have to talk with you, I heard myself say in a voice that was legibly trembling. What the pasta is wrong with you, Mom asked me. It's not parasites again, is it? Someone sunk their fangs into my trachea, I said emphatically. Chester and I can't breathe, and we can't. Dad sounded like an example out of Biology Illustrated. Fangs, he asked. What the fuck are you talking about, fangs? Chester's pissed, I said, and I'm pissed, and so is the little guy from the massage place down the road. And I don't just mean torqued. Dad and Mom looked at me like I was a moron. It was obvious they didn't know what I was talking about. I knew there wasn't a causal explanation for what I had experienced, but I also knew that I was confused. I was confused, and it was becoming more and more difficult to get any clarity. Where did you put the saliva from these fangs? Fangs, Mom asked. Fuck, I'm dying, and they asked me where the spit is. They have no idea what they're trying to say. They're about as unique as a dartboard in a Danish pub. I opened the back door so that I could think, and that's when I heard the horrible sound. I'm leaving, Michelle griped from the kitchen. I started speaking in tongues, but Michelle was listening in grunts and burps. Mom was talking in salt tablets. What dog crap here, she griped. Who cut the pasta? Michelle came into the living room, speaking in salt tablets also. It's a certified postcard from the Eastland Technical Institute of Technology. I stopped speaking in tongues long enough to ask what was for dinner. Every year, the Eastland Institute for the Technical Study of Technology celebrated unbacterialized profanity and screamed to the entire world, "Fuck me in the aria!" But in order to do this, they had to use their brains, and as Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs is my witness, Michelle thought she had a brain.
Nice.
I opened the postcard and poured rigatoni over it. Dad and Mom knew Michelle was as cuckoo as a carob tree trace element, and they knew that I was smarter than the average bear. Your Uzi weighs a ton, my love, Mom explained. A fucking ton. The first number is number one, Dad was grazing. What orangutans know, I know. Mom, Dad, I was so roguish. I have to talk to you, and I have to look for my fangs right fucking now. Don't you want to tell your sister how nice she is? Mom asked me while looking at the postcard Michelle had sent. She's nice, I mumbled. Michelle wasn't nice, but she was close enough to kick my ass. I think it's important that everyone know that I'm talking in circles, I insisted. They weren't listening to me. My fangs were the cause of all this, and Chester and I didn't want to pretend to be anything other than strange little sock smellers. Do you know if I believe you, Dad asked me. Great, I think. Dad was calling me the Pot Black. What the Christ, Mom asked. I believe that he knows what I believe, Dad announced. Let's go sit down and hock loogies until we die, and then we'll say goodnight to Michelle. Thanks a lot, Dad, I thought. I dug my mom, but my dad was like driving on a bald tire, always half-assed and dangerous. Try asking me a question that isn't life or death, I was gripping. At least Mom lets me play Arthur Grammatica once in a... I turned myself around. I let you play Arthur Grammatica? Mom asked like the candy ass she was. Before or after I let Michelle play Arturo Grammatica, Dad announced. I started lentiling. But for now, Dad said, I'd like to hold your fangs and just slap away. Mom turned circles on Dad. We're not going fishing in water, and we're not powerboating on Michelle, I said. We already had this conversation this morning, Dad told me. But Dad, I was throwing up my cheese and toast in parentheses. You were throwing up? Did you throw up more toast or more cheese? And did you play Arthur Grammatica or Arturo Grammatica? May it please the court, Mom intervened. Push me off a bridge, Michelle, Dad said. And Al, why don't you stop blabbing sometime tomorrow? I sighed instead. Great. First they asked me if I order the pate de fangs when I go into a fancy restaurant. Then on top of that, I eat everything in sight and they say I don't know my head from a cormorant. Leave now, Mom said. You're a disgusting, albeit leather-headed tactician. Al, Dad griped at my bald spot. The consensus is that you'd be out of here by tomorrow. Yes, Dad, I said, sounding like a pissed-off Dumbo. Do you know how gangly Michelle gets when she starts cursing about science? Dad asked me. It's like trying to play the banjo during a human sacrifice, for Christ's sake. Michelle returned to the bridge and started kicking the holy hell out of Dad. It looked like a lot of mucus and burlap. It looked like someone had taken a fruit tree, sat down, and started peeling every piece of fruit on it. Ask me why I throw darts at our house, Dad continued. I'll tell you why. I've got a lot of lone green invested in that house. I throw parties there where I only invite myself, and it's the perfect place to study bone picking. So you still throw darts at the house instead of inviting more people to your parties, right? I asked. You might as well start counting the number of days you're on restriction, Mom said. But Mom, I cried, and I acted like a crab. Not the kind that lives in the ocean, but that's just my opinion, obviously. What a fucking piece of shit, I mumbled to myself as I waited for the door to propel itself toward me. Instead, the sofa went flying over my head. Now, what's going to come at me? It was clear that my parents weren't from Mars or Venus. Chester came into the room. He put salt on my watch and began to run on his ears. And that was about as stupid as the time he chowed down on Lainey Kazan. And then roasted her over a barbecue. What are we going to do, huh, Chester? Now you go and take a sponge and you soak up everything you know. Gordy came into the room and he put salt all over the couch because he thought the couch was a bouillabaisse. You know, you got no fucking clue, Gordy. I was still breathing, but my eyes were closed. I imagined that my brain was Jay Leno and my fangs were Alejandro Rey. I gritted my teeth. Chester salted my watch and Gordy put lime juice all over my robe. I had to take out my fangs. I couldn't hear myself because the sound of night turning into day was way too loud. Wait a minute. Who put all the salt on the sofa? I'm trying to read the Venison Manual, and all I can hear are jokes about ducks and myopia, and some keister telling me that my respite is over. If I know one thing for certain, it's that I will never take another salt bath for as long as I live, give or take a few years. And when I do die, I hope Gordy comes with me. Death wouldn't be the same without Gordy's hellacious mug to stare at. I might be limited to sniffing Elmer's glue for kicks on Earth, but in heaven, the escalator's the limit. I stopped short of lighting the house on fire and then closed the door. After looking at what a mess the house was, I put the lamp on fire. Gordy stared at me with pie in his paw. "You have to do something," I told myself. "At least open the manual and turn to the first page." Ah, ho! I was a gem. Even the words, "oh no," were too difficult for me. I was a complete waste of space. I was an elementary waste of space. I was a neutral waste of space. Why couldn't I take simple words and make them more complicated? Miss Scott told me to look in the dictionary. She's always telling me to hang constellations on words. I sat down in the dictionary, and the last thing I remember before I passed out was the word kick, except it started with a C. I woke up with a page stuck to my finger. Com, I murmured, compost. I was a little slow on the compost take. Compost. A gritty man who doesn't like compost at all, I read. What? What the signifier is this? Great. Just great. Not a desperate piece of shit, I told myself. And who the quotation mark wrote this senseless act of padulum? I looked at every word until I came to P. Part E, I remembered. Part E. Here it is. An indeterminate portion of the whole. I closed the dictionary in one gulp and tried to clear the entire mess from my mind. This is useless, I said. I'm stupid. I'm so dumb. I'm just this side of stupid. Then I knew that what had passed in front of my eyes and through my brain had been alien territory. What if I woke up tomorrow and I'm still this seriously stupid?
That was Rabbit.
Thanks.